just when you thought there was no hope for baby boomers. It's the Rational Boomer Podcast. Logic. Common sense. Compassion. Yeah, who knew? Now, here's Mike.
We are back on the Rational Boomer Podcast. Hopefully your day is going well. It is Tuesday. As you can see, I'm in a different location. You probably already know. I'm in my living room still, but in a living room in Savannah, Georgia. We flew down yesterday morning, and we're here till Thursday. We're coming back. And, you know, whenever you do something and you're away from your home court, it's sometimes harder to do. So these are the times when I could use a hand, a helping hand. And who better to bring in than Eric from Iowa, usually a neighbor to my south. Now we're well east of him and south. But Eric, thanks for coming in. This is going to be an interesting show based on what happened yesterday.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. I knew you were traveling today and it was going to be a lot to talk about. So I figured I'll jump in, give you a hand.
Yeah, so thank you. Thank you for that. So we had Donald Trump going on trial starting yesterday. I just want to point something out. I've been dealing with Trumplafucks for the last 3.5 years that I've been doing TikToks, and then ultimately the podcast. And it was always the same thing. Donald Trump's going to win the 2020 election. He doesn't. Donald Trump will be back in office in August, which he wasn't. Donald Trump will never get indicted, which he was 4 times in 4 jurisdictions. Donald Trump will never go on trial, which he is currently doing. Now, the next thing for them to say, of course, is, well, he'll never get convicted. And that's absolute bullshit. He's going to get convicted in this case. So the point is there's a lot of people who said this would never happen. And here we are. Were you ever questioning whether we'd ever get to this point or not?
I wasn't questioning so much if we would get to this point, but when. Yeah. I fully expect us to have a trial. I was hoping it would have been 2 years before now. I was really disappointed in the time frame for what it took us to get him, you know, in front of a jury. But I was really wondering what after he announced his candidacy, if we'd see him in a courtroom before the election. I thought we might have to sit through the trial or sit through the election and then have the trial. But I'm glad we're here. Never any doubt in my mind it was going to happen. I just was doubting the time frame.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, now leading up to the trial on Sunday night into Monday morning, Donnie Trump seemed to be freaking out a little bit. He was going to Truth Social a lot and making all kinds of claims and all kinds of threats and clearly violating the gag order. I don't think this was surprising to anybody that Donald Trump will get a little hinky just hours before going to court.
Oh, no, not surprising to me at all. I mean, you got a guy who's always been able to just run to the media, run to social media, say whatever he wants. He riles up his base and gets a little support going, and people bend to his whims, basically.
Yeah.
So he keeps going back to what he's always done that's always worked. And unfortunately for him, these are different times.
Vastly different times. And, you know, that's what I was going to mention. This has got to be really confusing to Donald Trump, because all his life, he's never been accountable for anything. He's always gotten out of everything. He continually breaks laws, financial laws that he's gotten away with for decades. Somebody's always been there to bail him out. But now there is no way out. There is nobody to bail him out. And this has got to be utterly confusing to Donald Trump. Plus, he's dumb. So it's definitely confusing to him.
It's definitely confusing. And he's always, since he was president, since he started running for president, he's always been able to throw out the fundraising emails and go, you know, hold rallies or sell something or whatever, or even go to a bank and get a loan. He's always been able to get money, and now he can't fundraise. If he was really fundraising like he wants us to believe, he wouldn't be selling Bibles and tennis shoes and hawking stuff, you know, like you would see on QVC.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be doing that if he had money and could raise money, but he can't.
Well, he's definitely in desperation mode at this point. You know, leading up to this and over the past 4 years or 3.5 years, we kept hearing the Trump Lavoc saying, oh, we're going to have a civil war. We're going to be up in arms. We're going to do what we did in January 6th of 2021. And they kept throwing that out there, trying to threaten and try to scare the Democrats and Joe Biden and such. And I'll be honest with you, all that time I kept hearing from Democrats saying, oh my God, what happens? January 6th all over again. And I've always said that's not going to happen because we're in a much, like you say, different time. Donald Trump's not in charge. He can't protect those people anymore. It's Joe Biden. So you go ahead, fuck around, and you will find out. And they know that. They know that a lot of their buddies are in jail, and the rest of them could go to jail. If they're lucky, if they start some kind of violence, they could get really fucked up quick because they're domestic terrorists, and a National Guard and a president will do whatever they have to do to stop them.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. They for whatever reason, they seem to think they're going to be taking on people like you and me in this civil war.
Yeah,
they've got this idea that they're taking on regular civilians in a civil war situation, and they have all the guns, so they're going to win. They're too stupid to realize they're taking on the full strength of the U.S. military. And, you know, yes, there might be a few dumb people in the military, but I don't think any of them are going to risk a court-martial and time in Leavenworth to side with those dumb fucks.
No, especially so, when they've been losing all along. Nobody's dumb enough to do that.
They're going to be going up against the full brunt of the U.S. military with a commander-in-chief who's willing to use a measured response if he absolutely had to.
Right.
You know, it's not going to be his go-to response, but that would be one if he had to do something. They're not going up against just, you know, one of your local liberals down at the grocery store. They're going against the military. They're going to lose.
Well, and for those people out there that have been concerned about the civil war and the potential violence, here's what you need to know and what you need to acknowledge. Donald Trump went in for his first criminal trial, the first criminal trial of a former president in the history of this country. If there was ever a time that these Trump-la-fucks would get riled up and come out in force, it would have been yesterday. There were 50 Trump-la-fucks there, just 50, and they were goofballs. I think they all came in one clown car, and the support. And Donald Trump even said beforehand, he said, it's going to be wild, just like on January 6th. He was trying to incite him. This has got to be disappointing for Donald Trump, where he can't rile these people up to come and support him.
Yeah, and he just doesn't have the charismatic draw that he did, in part because he's not sitting in the Oval Office.
Right.
He doesn't have the bully pulpit. You know, there was a big chunk of the Jan Sixers that if it had been, let's just say, Hillary Clinton in the White House for those 4 years and Donald ran again, and now you have a similar scenario where Donald lost, he tried to rile him up to stop the certification over because he lost. They wouldn't have gone because it wasn't the president saying,
right,
come fight for your country.
Right.
That was the big reason why he was able to draw so much. It wasn't even so much that they necessarily believed him. They believed in the office he was sitting in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Donald Trump wants us to believe that he's a strong man, a powerful man, maybe even a superhero, and all the Trump-la-fucks buy into that bullshit, right? Well, he goes into court yesterday, and he's whimpering, and he's whining, and he's speaking unintelligible words and phrases and such. If you looked at him, his eyes were blood red. Now, that might be because he's scared to death. It might be because he was all up all night posting crazy Truth Socials. I'm not necessarily sure. He probably is having a tough time sleeping. But he's there, and he looks like a mess. You can't understand him. He's clearly scared. And then during the trial, it said he falls asleep once, maybe twice, maybe three times. And there's some pictures of it, too. Donald Trump falls asleep on the first day of the trial. Yet they want to call Joe, Sleepy Joe, while he's on cocaine. It's just so ridiculous. Exactly. It's so ridiculous.
Well, that's probably the reason he fell asleep is he wasn't taking his Adderall.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Donnie probably didn't want to show up to court having, you know, being high strung out on Adderall. So he probably didn't take any. He was coming down, so he was asleep.
Right. Yeah, but here's the thing. Donnie was a mess today, yesterday in court, right? That was day one. He's going to be in court every day, 4 days a week, 8 hours a day for the next 2.5 months. This is not going to go well for Donald Trump.
No, not at all. I firmly think he's going to probably end up, it's going to probably have to be the thing where the judge is going to put up with it for a while, give him a wider berth than some people would probably get. But he's not going to get excused from being in the trial.
No.
But I do know the judge has the option to like remove him from the courtroom and put him in a separate room with CCTV. And the judge might have to do that. They might have to give him some coloring books or something to keep him occupied.
You know,
because I just don't see him lasting every day in the courtroom without causing enough of a disturbance that the judge says, get out of here.
Well, you know, he has already asked for some time off.
I heard that.
He just started this trial and he wants Wednesday off. And the reason he wants Wednesday off is because there's a big fundraiser in preparation for Monday's arguments for his immunity case. Well, he's going to fucking lose that. And he's going to have this fundraiser and we planned it for a long time and we need to go. The judge said, fuck yourself. You're here in court. The judge said, yeah, the Supreme Court is very important, but so is the Supreme Court of New York. And you have a duty to be here. You have a responsibility by law. You have to be here. So you're going to fucking be here.
Yeah, he said, you're not legally, effectively, you're not legally obligated to be at the hearing in front of the U.S. Supreme Court, but you're obligated to be here. So we will see you next week. You will be here.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There was one other time he wanted to be excused in May. And that is because in May, on a specific date, Barron, his son, is going to be graduating, and Donnie wants to go there. And he said, well, let's wait and see what the trial looks like when we get to that point. And then Donnie's going, I can't even go to my son's graduation. He's going to be so disappointed. And like my wife pointed out earlier today, she said, I'm guessing this isn't the first time he's disappointed Barron.
Oh, probably not. But this is also probably the first time he's voluntarily wanted to do anything with Barron.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, he'd probably say he was going to go to this graduation and then go out to McDonald's and party with some hookers. That's more what I'd expect out of him.
You know, I kind of hope that the judge grants him the day off to go, like they still hold court, or even if they take the day off or whatever. But they give him the day off to go, and then he blows the graduation and does like a campaign rally or something just so he has to face the judge and deal with the outcome of that, of trying to pull a fast one on this judge.
Well, what I get a kick out of Donald Trump, he's so stupid. He's asking favors of a judge in his criminal trial. And then when he's not in court, he's ripping that judge apart. How does he figure that's going to work? You think the judge is just going to forget about it and cut him some slack because he's a great guy? Fuck no. Judge Edge Angeron didn't do it.
Well, because Donnie thinks, the way Donnie thinks is he thinks everybody is like him.
Yeah.
They're only focused on whatever he's focused on in the moment. Donald Trump, I bet you, for the most part, has like conversation. I don't know what the word is. It's similar to like object permanence that babies deal with, where they don't remember an object exists once it's out of their line of sight. I bet you his conversations are that way. Once he's finished a conversation and moved on to something else he's thinking about, he has forgotten every word he said and doesn't even remember that he's bashed on this judge.
Well, you know, a perfect example of that behavior is this. When Mike Johnson wanted to pass the first FISA bill and Marjorie Taylor Greene didn't want to do it, and of course Margie and Donald Trump are thick as thieves, literally, Donald Trump said, kill FISA, basically to shit on Mike Johnson. So then Mike Johnson goes down and sees Donald Trump, kisses his ass, tells him he's a genius. And now all of a sudden he's Mike Johnson's buddy, in spite of the fact it makes Marjorie Taylor Greene look like an idiot. That's the thing about Donald Trump, and that may be one of the most dangerous things about him. He's so easily manipulated. If you have somebody with above average intelligence, you quickly find out what it takes to get him on your side. You do it, and it works every time.
I don't even think it takes above average intelligence. Like you said, you go down, you kiss his ass a little bit, and you can get him to about do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Especially, I bet Mike Johnson went down there and said, you know, paid him a couple compliments and go, you know, Donnie, people are saying you're a loser for getting us out of this fight, saying kill FISA. You know, if you want to be considered a winner, you got to get behind me and we'll back this thing and we'll show them how much of a winner you really are. Boom, he's right behind it because he's afraid of looking like a loser. You know, you could get out of it in 3-4 sentences and you got Donald Trump on your side. It don't take much.
No, it doesn't take much at all. And I mean, it gives us a better look at Melania, too. Melania, a lot of people cut her slack. She knew exactly what she was getting into. I think she's just as bad as he is, but she's a little smarter than he is, and she's an attractive woman. I bet she turned Donald Trump inside out whenever she fucking wanted to.
Oh, easy. Easily. And, of course, you know, she got pregnant by him. I can't imagine why, but she did. She got him to marry her and got one hell of a prenup situation, a settlement thing out of it. So, yeah, she was able to manipulate him probably by saying, oh, man, you're so handsome. You're the most handsome man on the planet. Every woman wants to be with you. Something like that. And he was, putty in her hands to give her whatever he wanted, whatever she wanted.
You gotta wonder if she doesn't have a pretty sizable trust fund or a nest egg somewhere that she got from him in advance.
Depending on how she got that, she better be worried.
Because she's still married to him.
She's still married to him. And depending on how it's secured and everything else, it could be on Letitia James' radar and that could go away. And this is only the beginning of all the other lawsuits that he's going to be facing. He could be staring down the barrel of another defamation suit, plus who knows what else. She could end up losing that net, whatever nest egg he's set up for could be gone.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if it's available to grab or they can find it, they will grab it. And, I was just thinking, I misspoke earlier. I said that Donald Trump's situation where they're making arguments about the immunity thing was Monday. It's not Monday. It's next Thursday. And what he wanted off was next Wednesday. What's happening Monday is the hearing about Donald Trump's bond. And if it's legitimate, if they make a decision on that and they say, this is bullshit, this doesn't work. Do you think Letitia starts grabbing shit and have a Donnie Trump garage show?
Maybe. I've been thinking about that, and I said it at the time. I'll say it again. I think at best, what the appeals court might do is if they find out the bond is no good, they might give him the end of business the same day or give him one extra day at best. They're not going to cut him 10 more days. They're not going to get him 2 weeks. It's not going to be another month. It's going to be very short order if they give him any more time. That's even if they give him more time. But well, I do know there's going to be, like, when she starts going after his stuff, it's not going to be immediate. There is some time frames involved.
Yeah.
Like, she's got to seize it. They got to set up the sale. Like, it's not going to be she gets Trump Tower the minute they walk out of court. And Trump Tower is on the market on Tuesday. But it's going to be fast.
Yeah, I mean, there's a process to this whole thing. I think she has to go through court, a hearing to get it done and all that stuff. But, it really doesn't matter because once it starts, it's going to be hard for him to stop it. I mean, if they give him a day or two or even 2 weeks to get another bond, let's consider this. He had 10 days and the bond he got was the bottom of the barrel and doesn't even really qualify. So if that was his last resort, that doesn't leave many options coming up.
No, I think at most they're going to give him, like I said, a day or two. And even if they gave him 3 months, he's not going to be able to come up with any sort of a valid bond.
No.
He's going to try another stunt like this with another company. Maybe if he could find somebody else dumb enough to try it. But I don't think that they're going to give him another, like, he's not going to get another chance to get a bond, I don't think, beyond maybe a day or two. And they might say, well, you fucked around with this. Well, our lowered amount now goes away. You're back up to posting the whole thing.
Yeah, that's a distinct possibility too, because I was saying that, you know, I was thinking about that. There's got to be some consideration to the fact that he posted this bond knowingly, him and the bond guy, that they didn't really qualify. You know, they tried to scam this thing. They turned it in without the financial statement. And then when they said, you need the financial statement, they go, oh, whoops, yeah, we'll get you the financial statement. And when the financial statement comes in and it's not enough to cover what he needs to cover for a bond, you know what happened there. They knew that it wasn't going to work. So they thought they'd try to slip one by, which is common for Donald Trump. So you wonder if the court's not going to look at it and say, this fucker tried to scam us. He gets no sway at all.
Well, yeah. And on top of it, I had heard, I think this is part of why they were looking at the legitimacy of the bond. I don't know if you heard this too, but I had heard that there wasn't they didn't have a record of Donald Trump actually giving him anything to secure the bond.
Right.
And it was just on if you have to pay it, I'll pay you. I'll pay you back. Trust me, kind of agreement, which again violates New York law, I believe.
Yeah, it does. That's not how it works. They got to put the money up. And it kind of goes back to what Letitia James claimed when Donald Trump was trying to make a compromise in owing this money. Letitia James basically said all he's doing is saying, just trust me for it. And you don't trust Donald Trump for it. And that's what this bond seemed to be. What really is supposed to happen is the guy putting up the bond is supposed to have the money, and it's there. And if the appeal doesn't make it, that money's gone. And then it's up to the bond guy to get the money from Donald Trump. But that's not how this was going. The guy wasn't putting anything up. He's basically saying, oh, I vouch for Donnie, and Donnie will pay it if he loses. That's bullshit. And that's a sure way to not get any money in the end, because Donald Trump's notorious for not paying people. And now you got the people, the state of New York, having to fucking run around for the next 10 years trying to get their money. And that's the whole point of having a bond, so you don't have to do that.
Right. Well, like I was telling a friend of mine, she was going, a friend and coworker, she was like, well, I thought, what about him only putting up the 175? I'm like, well, this is just a down payment. This doesn't prevent them from going after the difference. This is just a good faith payment to prevent them from seizing everything in the meantime.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people were confused. And I heard people talking about it that, you know, oh, well, he only's got to pay the 175 and that's it. No, this just keeps Letitia James at bay from seizing his properties. But, you know, they cut him some slack, and then he fucked around. And then they're going to go back at it. And like I said, I just don't see him giving him more than maybe end of business, same day, maybe one more day at the best. I would be surprised if it was any more than that. And they're going to say, you fucked around with this. You're lucky if we don't, you know, I don't know if there's any referral for criminal charges that could come out of this. He could be facing another indictment over this bond issue.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He could. I mean, he's looking at possible indictments over the Truth Social stock offering. We can talk about that later. I want to go back to the trial that's at hand, the trial he's in now. He did a lot of violating the gag order, and Judge Marchand hasn't done anything as yet. But I've told people that Judge Marchand is not somebody to be played with. He's a more serious guy, and he's going to be a little tougher on Donnie. And I wanted to read that. This was in, I think it's in Huffington Post regarding this. And it says, Judge Juan Marchand, who is overseeing the case, shared courtroom instructions on Monday, telling Trump that he expects him to be present every day of the trial, which could stretch to 8 weeks. He warned the former president that any disruptions could result in exclusion from the court, but that any failure to show up when required, could bring a warrant for his arrest. Now, what that means is exclusion from the court. If he just won't shut up, they'll put him in another room with a mute button on his mic. That's what they would do. But he finishes by saying, if you disrupt the proceedings in any way, the law permits the court to exclude you from the court, commit you to jail, and continue the trial in your absence. So Judge Juan Marchand's not fucking around. He said it in no uncertain terms, and Donald Trump can't say, why? I didn't understand.
Well, he might still try to say he didn't understand because he probably didn't.
Well, that's probably true.
I heard they were trying to get $1,000 a piece for three Truth Social posts that that he had made, and that was going to be the penalty for him violating the gag order this time. And I don't think that's enough financially. It's been proven that $1,000 fine to Donald Trump isn't much. He doesn't take that seriously, even though he's running out of money. But I think this will be the, if it does end up being that low, this will probably be the one warning Judge Marchand is going to give him. Yeah. And the next time it'll either be very significant financial fine, or it's going to be, okay, you got 24 hours in jail.
He's already been fined $5,000 for violating a gag order in the E. Jean Carroll case. That didn't do anything to stop him. I think the whole point of having a gag order is to get him to shut up and stop spewing his bullshit. $5,000 isn't going to do it. $1,000 isn't going to do it. Hopefully you're right that he said, okay, it's $1,000 a pop, but that's your one chance. Second chance isn't going to be a chance because you're going to go to jail or you're going to be locked up in a room by yourself. I hope he's ready to be that serious about holding Donald Trump accountable, because to be honest with you, with Judge Engoron and all of this, if you're not going to enforce the gag rule, why waste your time fucking doing it?
Well, the gag order, in my opinion, it's the same thing as what you or I would be expected to do if we were on trial. Like, this is the norm. The only thing the gag order really is it is them laying it out in very specific instructions to Donald Trump that, hey, you can't do this. You or I would know better, and we wouldn't do it anyway.
Right.
But you're right. Having it and enforcing it is another thing. And I think Judge Marchand, out of everything we're seeing, he's going to probably enforce this. Like I said, he's already came out today. You know, he did put off issuing any sort of ruling on the first thing. He's like, look, we got a lot of jurors to get through. They had 96 to start today. He's like, let's get through that first. And then I don't remember what date he put for a hearing on this, but he set a date for a hearing on whether they're going to fight him or jail him. But then he came out, and like you said, they read him the riot act of what they can do to him. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think Judge Marchand's going to sit there and say, no, we're done. You know, you can't keep violating this. I'm not just going to keep giving you a slap on the wrist. Fine.
Well, I think the important thing to understand about what happened today was historic by him going on trial today. They're trying to pick a jury, this jury selection. Like you said, maybe they saw 96 people, but when they started the case, there was all this little bullshit that Donald Trump's lawyers were trying to bring in as evidence, doing anything to delay the time, because that's Donald Trump's way. You're going to have to go through it anyway, but if they can delay it 2 minutes or 2 hours or 2 weeks, they're going to give it a try. The judge even became a little frustrated at that point. He said, look, we got a lot of people we've got to talk to. We've got 500 jurors we've got to interview, and we're fucking around with this stuff. This has to stop. Let's get down to business. So they keep trying to do the delays, even if they're minuscule. And I think the judge has just had enough of this shit. He knows the game. He understands what's going on, and he's just had enough. He doesn't want his courtroom to become a circus.
Exactly. That's why I think out of all the judges we've seen so far, I think he's going to be the one to most tightly reel in Donald Trump. I think the next best bet would be probably Tanya Chutkan out of D.C. And the only reason I would say I would put Judge Marchand ahead of Tanya at this point is because we're in court. We're in the trial now, whereas her case has been taken out of her hands. She can't do anything with it right now, so she's kind of at a standstill where he can do whatever. You know, it's his responsibility to maintain order in his courtroom, and he's going to do it.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting. Correct me if I'm wrong here. I just heard it in passing on one of the media outlets. Two things happened. Well, one thing happened and one thing didn't happen. First of all the people they talked to, 50 potential jurors said, yeah, you can't put me in there because I'd be too prejudiced in this particular situation. I'm not the guy to put in there. I already have a decision on this. Now, it was funny. My wife said to me, she said, well, you think they were Trump humpers or people who were against Donald Trump? I said, think about what you're saying. You think the Trump humpers are going to come in and say they're too biased? No, in fact, they're going to keep their mouth shut and try to get on the jury to do something. These are all people that know what they know about Donald Trump. We know people in New York hate him anyway, especially in the Manhattan district. But they didn't seat one juror yesterday. Not one. They spent the whole day and they didn't get one juror.
Well, I know they talked to, I know once they weeded out, like you said, the first 50 that all left, and there might have been a couple of Trump humpers in that first 50. And I only say that because one of the things they get told is, you know, if you lie during this thing and we find out, you can do some jail time. And the Trump humpers are scared of jail time.
Yeah, they are.
You know, so a couple of them might have weeded themselves out already. But once they got down, I heard they had interviewed actual 9 people that they got into questioning. I know they eliminated 4 or 5 of them, I think. But the ones they, the, I think the 4 or 5 they didn't, that they didn't eliminate, they haven't confirmed as jurors yet, but they also haven't excluded them.
Okay.
Well, that's the way I heard it. Now, I could be wrong.
Well,
you probably
know
still
better
be
than
up
I.
In the air.
You probably,
that's the way I heard it described.
Yeah, you probably know that better than I, because I didn't dig deep. I was on a plane driving and shit, so I wasn't as close to it as I normally would be. But the important thing is they've got to find 12 jurors. Now, when they did the criminal case against the Trump Organization, it took a week to get 12 jurors. People think this is going to be longer, so they're thinking maybe 2 weeks. But trust me, if Donald Trump and his lawyers can find a way to fuck around and not piss off the judge enough, they will delay this as long as they can. I don't know what they hope to gain by doing that. The trial started, so they're going to have to deal with it ultimately.
I think what they're trying to gain is, like you said, any sort of a delay. They also want to put in any sort of a doubt as far as what they could do with, well, there was an issue with jury selection, so we get a new trial. You know, grounds for an appeal.
Right.
And they're actually looking for 18 jurors.
Oh, are they really? 18.
They need 12 for the jury.
Mm.
And then I read they need 6 alternates.
Right.
So that if something happens and one of them has to leave, that the other 6 are going to have to sit through the trial in, like, I'm guessing a separate room with closed circuit TV or whatever. And they're going to have to watch every minute of the case, the way I understand it. And then if something happens to one of the main 12, okay, alternate number 1, you get moved into the jury box and you take over without, you know, and the trial continues.
Right. Because they need to be up to speed. You can't put a new juror in and say, oh, let's take 5 days and bring them up to speed. He or she needs to be up to speed immediately. And you know what? In this particular case, it wouldn't be surprising if we saw something like that. And I'll tell you why, because people get greedy. And we're talking about one of the biggest trials you're going to run into in history. You're going to have the media and you're going to have other people coming up and they're going to be talking about shit to the wrong people. So it's conceivable we will see some people booted from this jury at some point.
It's possible. I'm also fully expecting them to sequester the jury
Ooh.
And put them up in a. I'm fully expecting it. And I fully think they'll be put up in a hotel room somewhere very close, you know, basically under lock and key every night, you know, no media, no cell phone, no talking to the outside world, because the judge isn't going to, you know, and the prosecutor, they're not going to want to run the risk of this jury being tampered with. It's hard enough to get the first jury seated. If they have to toss this thing because of jury tampering and start over, they're going to have a ridiculous time on their hands. I don't think Judge Marchand wants to have that happen.
No, he does. You know, that's one thing people always say to me, and I just don't see this happening. Well, what if a Trump humper gets on and they get a hung jury, then Donald Trump gets away? Not really. I mean, even if they got a hung jury, I don't think that's going to happen because of the concerns about perjury and all that stuff. But just because you get a hung jury doesn't mean the guy gets off. They will mount another trial, ultimately. They aren't going to just let him go.
Yeah, the only way he would get off with a Trump humper on there is if that one Trump humper was able to get all 11 other jury members to side with them.
Right.
Come back with, you know, not guilty on 34 counts. I don't see it happening. And I think even the most ardent Trump humper, with when you're talking 34 different charges, would probably come back with guilty on at least one.
Yeah.
The odds, I think the odds are there. They're going to be confronted with evidence they can't sit there and deny, especially if I'm right and they get sequestered. They're not going to have Fox News to lean on for their spin. And they're not going to have their normal talking points where they can go listen to Truth Social and listen to somebody else rail about it. I think once the facts are in their face and they are presented with it and there's nothing they can do, they're going to have to agree with the jury, and they're going to have no choice but to convict.
You know, one thing that people keep talking to me about as if it's a thing, and I think you even brought this up when we talked last, people look at this as a lesser trial than the other three, and maybe it is a little bit, but it's still very serious. Some people have come to me and said, well, a lot of people are saying even if he gets convicted, he won't go to jail. And I would say that may be true if he got convicted of one or two crimes. But if he gets convicted of 10, 15, 20, or all 34, it's going to be hard not to put him in jail, because that's a pretty, I don't know if you brought up the word recidivism or, you know, a habitual criminal. Just the fact that he keeps doing this would almost
right.
have to put them in a position to lock him away at least for a period of time.
I think you're right. I think they would almost have to with 34. If he got convicted of even 20,
yeah.
The fact that he would be staring at, what is it? I think it's 2 to 5 years or something. I can't remember how many years he's looking at for each charge. But he'd be staring at 40 years to 50 some plus or whatever the number is. There's no way they could argue that he doesn't have to go spend at least some time in a prison cell somewhere. Now, they might stack all the charges together where he only has to serve 2 years up for all of it. You know, every minute counts as a minute for every charge.
Right.
But there's just no way I can see them trying to give him some sort of a probation only pass for all of this.
No.
But it also doesn't really matter.
No,
because
it doesn't
if he
matter.
Gets convicted, the donors that haven't walked away will probably walk away. You know, he's not going to get just anything. Like, it's going to sink everything for him for getting convicted. He is not going. There wasn't a chance of him winning the election beforehand, but if he gets convicted of 20 to 34 charges, even one or two charges, if he gets a conviction,
right,
the general public's going to turn on him.
Absolutely. You know, and the thing about it is people, I think people honestly believe the court case will end. He'll be found guilty. They'll cuff him and haul him away to jail. Now, that may or may not happen. He is certainly going to try to appeal it if he can still afford it. It's conceivable he doesn't enter a jail till after the election. But as you said, it really, really doesn't matter. There's a lot of factors here. Like you say, he's going to get voters walking away from him. That's what some polls have said. Fundraisers already walking away from him, and this is not going to help him. But it also goes to the other point that it's an intangible that I don't think a lot of people think of. I think of all the time. Donald Trump is a narcissist. If you've been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are guilty of a crime, This is going to crush him emotionally. Narcissists don't own up to losing or being wrong or that sort of thing. And when he's got no way around it, this is why I think he's going to be crushed emotionally, physically, and all this stuff before he even gets to the nomination. Because there's that, there's the money being taken away. This is a lot of pressure to put on an old orange fuck that isn't healthy in the first place.
Oh yeah, and even I, but I don't think even with the convictions, he will never publicly admit that he did anything wrong. Never. He will never own up to the fact that he is a, you know, that he's a convicted criminal, that he actually did something wrong. So yeah, it's going to hurt him. Like, it is going to mentally drag him down knowing that he was proven, and you know, and the fact that he'll have to go out to interviews, and one of the things that maybe even Hannity or one of his buddies in the media will say, well, now that you're a convicted felon, Donnie, you know, what do? It is going to crush him having to be referred to as a convict, you know, as a felon. Those words, hearing it is going to destroy him more than any. The only word I think that could destroy him more is broke.
Broke, yeah. Yeah. And the thing about it, and he's going to have that going for him too. So
yeah,
that's why I'm saying they're taking everything away from him, everything that he identifies with, power, fame, because he won't be famous anymore. He'll be infamous. He'll be a pariah. And I think what happens when he loses his money, gets convicted of a crime, gets destroyed in the election, the only thing I can possibly imagine is people, as you know, as the kids in dating would say, ghosting that motherfucker. There is no value in standing near him.
No, there really isn't. Not after he's convicted. And with everything that's going to come out in this trial, it is going to be so devastating to him emotionally. You know, when they talk to Stormy Daniels about this affair, you know, she's going to have to probably talk, you know, it's probably going to come out about what happened, how things happened, you know, and like some of the details of their affair, and that is going to come out. And I'm guessing he's not looking forward to that. That's why he probably doesn't want her to testify. You know, you're going to have Karen McDougal. I think she's going to testify, among others, about the similar things. There's this doorman story about him maybe having another child out there somewhere. All of these negative stories that are going to be, you know, drag him down as far as the persona that he has, he doesn't survive this mentally.
No, he doesn't. And you know who else has a big problem with all this stuff being exposed, and he's probably taking the brunt for it, is Melania. I mean, whether she likes Donald Trump or not, and whether she cares if he cheated on her or not, this is terribly embarrassing to her. All the money in the world isn't going to pay for her integrity or pride. Now, she doesn't have much, but maybe in her mind she thinks she does. But I think some people have suggested it, and I wasn't so sure, but they're thinking that she's putting pressure on him because of what it's doing to her persona.
I've heard that. Somebody, I don't remember if it was you or somebody else, suggested that she might be one of the driving forces behind him taking the stand in this case. Now, if Donald Trump had a decent lawyer, which we know he doesn't, because he can't afford anybody good, and nobody good would put up with the bullshit that comes from being Donald Trump's attorney. He tells you how to litigate his case, not the other way around. But no good lawyer would ever put that man on a witness stand.
No, there's nothing to gain from that.
But if he's getting pressure from her, well, you got to go up there on the witness stand, and you got to talk your way out of this, and you got to do this for me, because you're making me look bad by, you know, and if you make me look bad, that makes you look bad. You know, she's going to talk him in circles, and it don't take much for him to think that, you know, him taking the stand make him look strong or something. So he's probably going to try. I don't know if he's going to actually take the stand or not.
I don't think he will. We can talk more about that after the break, but tell you what, we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. We're back on the Rational Boomer podcast. Eric from Iowa, a listener, is back on the show. He's on frequently, and it's good to get some perspective from Iowa and from a younger man than I. You can only take so much shit and listen to so much shit from an old guy sitting in his living room. So I appreciate the other perception coming to the podcast. Now, we were talking about, just before we took that break, we were talking about the prospect of Donald Trump testifying. Now, in normal cases, as you said, nobody in their right mind would allow Donald Trump to testify. We know a couple things about Donald Trump. Donald Trump thinks he can talk his way out of anything, but he's also a coward. So that's kind of a contradiction for him. I'm sure he doesn't know what to do. Then there's the prospect of maybe Melania is pushing him to do it, which is distinctly possible. But let me put it to you this way. What does Donald Trump have to lose by testifying? He's going to lose the case anyway. He has no choice. What does he have to lose by testifying?
He's got the potential for perjury.
True.
Because you know he can't keep himself his mouth shut. He's got public opinion, which I think is what his attorneys would tell him, is you get up there and anything you say on the stand, you know, these reporters are going to twist and spin and make you look bad, which it's not so much the reporters twisting it and spinning it. It's literally he's going to say stuff that makes him look bad, but the attorneys are going to blame the reporters for doing it. But as far as the case goes, the only thing he's got to lose is he could talk his way into a conviction. I mean, I think they got him anyway, but the jury is going to sit there and they're watching every move he makes. And if he's not likable, if he doesn't seem credible, then he gets up on the stand and starts turning it into a campaign rally or whatever he's going to try to do. It's just going to guarantee the jury goes against it.
Well, your argument makes a lot of sense, common sense, logic. The fatal flaw here is, though, that Donald Trump doesn't think he'll look bad. He thinks he'll be a genius. He doesn't think it's possible that he could have this go south for him. He thinks he's only going to make it better. And as long as he puts enough pressure onto his lawyers, he may do it. But at the same time, like I've said before, he's a coward. So that may stop him from doing it. I don't honestly think he'll testify unless it gets really ugly and he gets really mad, which he probably will when all this stuff is exposed. It's fun to think about. I would love to see him on the stand in a criminal trial. He will destroy himself. I just don't think he realizes it.
No, he'll destroy himself. I think he might be onto something. It's either if he's mad or if the other witnesses embarrass him enough.
Right, right, exactly. He's going to want to...
So with Stormy Daniels, you know, on the stand talking about their thing, and if she starts talking about how disappointing it was being with him or something, you know, he's going to want to get on that stand and he's going to want to counter it because he's got to get the narrative out there that he's the world's best lover or whatever bullshit he believes.
Yeah.
You know? So if he's embarrassed about by the other witnesses, he's going to want to get up there and tell his side of the story because he thinks him talking alone is going to save him for some reason.
Well, the thing about it is, you know his credo. His credo is, you hit me, I'm going to hit you back 10 times as hard. I mean, he lives by that. It's all about revenge. It's all about retribution with him. So he's got two options. He can go testify and do it on the stand or in the hallways after court or in the breaks during the court. Now, he's got a problem if he does it during the breaks. He's got that gag order. And like we've said, Judge Marchand probably isn't going to tolerate that bullshit. So he might very well get contempt of court and get put in jail. So he's really caught either way. And this is a troublesome thing for Donald Trump because he's a narcissist, because he is who he is. You get somebody like this cornered, they just fucking freak out.
Well, a thought that just occurred to me as you were talking about that, about him having the contempt of court, not being able to hit back during the breaks. I think, and maybe I'm onto something, maybe I'm crazy, I don't know. But I think he's going to first try to hit back in the breaks and through the media and through Truth Social. And if he gets to spend even one night in a prison cell and he can't hit and he stops hitting back through the breaks, I think that's when he takes the stand guaranteed. Because he's not going to be able to go through all the way to the end of the trial without at least having some attempt to get back. And he's terrified of being in a prison cell. So even one night in prison would probably stop him from hitting back during the breaks. And then I think that's when he would try to testify. But if he does take the stand, I think it's only a matter of time till Judge Marchand says, "Nope, you're out of here. You're done. Get this guy. You're done talking, because you're off topic. You're making personal attacks. This isn't a campaign rally. You're not actually testifying to the events." I don't think he's going to get days and days to say whatever he wants.
No, I don't think so either. I'm looking forward to him finally becoming to the point. He's already cornered. There's no way out. I'm waiting for that moment in time when he realizes it because of how he will react. And people say, how do you know he's going to act crazy? And as I've said, I had a father who was a narcissist. He'd rant and rave, go off the deep end. He'd make threats. He'd say horrible things about his own kids. And I know what this experience looks like because when I was about 17 years old, I played football. I wrestled. I was in really good shape. I thought I was fucking immortal and could kick anybody's ass, And my dad was he was somebody I was always afraid of because he was always bigger than me and always yelling and stuff. But there was one point I might have had a couple of beers and my dad may have had a couple of whiskeys and he started off on me. And he's standing there, and I walked up nose to nose to him. I go, "What the fuck are you gonna do? Because I can kick your ass right now, and I would be just give me a reason to kick your ass." And he starts sputtering and spitting, and he did what he always did, or what narcissists and cowards do. He backed off, and then at that point, you know what he did? He never confronted me about anything. He confronted my mom to have her confront me. That's the true essence of a coward.
In this case, I don't know if he's going to realize, I don't think he will realize he is screwed, and until the moment the jury comes back with that guilty verdict.
You might be right about that. I
I
wouldn't be
think
surprised.
he is going to believe until they come back with that guilty verdict and they read guilty on even one charge. Like, you're going to see his face drop, because he is going to believe they could be deliberating for 5 minutes, they could be deliberating for 5 months. He wouldn't care. He would believe no matter what comes out, it's going to be not guilty on all 34 counts until the moment that first guilty gets read.
Well, it goes back to what we've said before about him. He always delays things because in his mind, he believes given enough time, it'll all be all right. He'll be saved from it. And he thinks that because that's always been the case. So if I'm not saved yet, give it a couple more months and then I'll be saved. He believes that in his mind. He's that fucking delusional. But you're right. When that moment comes and he's found guilty and they say, "You're going to jail." That is going to freak him the fuck out. He isn't going to know how to respond to that.
No, and by that point, it's too late. I mean, there is a good chance with, and I realize we're talking about, I don't want to say victimless crimes, but we're talking blue collar business fraud crimes. We're not talking, this isn't like he went down and robbed the corner store at gunpoint.
No.
These are what they call victimless crimes, sort of, that, they may not hold him in prison right away for it, but look what they did with Alan Weisselberg. And it was, "Oh, court case over, you're in cuffs, you're out the door." He could get that same treatment. He could be held. And, that would be the end of Donald Trump immediately. I think, as far as being a public figure, if they the minute they haul him off to prison, that's the last we hear of Donald Trump, except for maybe, some blurbs about him appealing when he gets his appeals.
Or keeling over
Yeah.
on an overdose of Adderall. I mean, some people say, well, maybe he'll commit suicide. Donald Trump will never commit suicide. Narcissists, they'll kill somebody else before they kill themselves. They think they're the greatest people in the world. Why would they want to do that? But you're absolutely right about that. Donald, people say, I hope he gets 20 years. I don't care if he gets 6 months. Because like you say, the moment he goes in that jail or prison, and if he's there 6 months, a year, year and a half, he's just fucking done. He can't come back from that because he can't do what he did with like the election. He can't come out of the election, lose the election, and say, no, I actually won. He can't say I wasn't guilty and I didn't go to jail because everybody knows he did. So he is going to be absolutely petrified to face anybody because, like I say, they're cowards.
Yeah, and the next, and on top of it, his base, they're not going to be able to walk away from all of this like they have been before, because this is getting covered on Fox, and I don't think they're in, Fox Newsmax and whatever. I don't think they're going to be spinning this as much as they used to, and especially if he gets convicted and they're hauling him to jail. That they're going to show that they're going to show him going to prison, or at least potentially, they're going to show coverage of him getting convicted and going to prison, however they do it.
Right.
He's not going to be able to spin this where his base only hears a made up side of the story.
Right.
They can't lie about this on air like they have been.
Well, what's interesting, I don't know if you heard this story. I only heard it in passing. I need to find out more about it, but it's pretty basic, so I'm sure it happened based on the sources I got it from. But there are people on Fox News and some other right-wing news outlet who are out and out saying, if you're in New York and you're a Trump fan, you need to get on that jury any way you can and save Donald Trump. You need to do that. And that strikes me as a little illegal, especially for a company that's been sued for $800 million.
Yeah, and if there is any credibility to this, I would hope, and I'm putting my hope in the wrong person with this,
Yeah.
but I would hope Merrick Garland goes after him for it, because that does seem illegal. Because now you're talking heads on, the freedom of the press only goes so far.
Yeah.
It's like freedom of speech. Freedom of speech does not protect you. Like, you and I could have a conversation about robbing a bank.
Right.
We're not prohibited from necessarily talking about it, but the fact that we're planning a bank robbery, we can get in trouble for the consequences of having the conversation to plan the bank robbery.
Or even encouraging other people to rob a bank. If I said, listen,
Right.
you're listening to this show, Eric and I think you should go rob a bank and here's what you need to do. I have a feeling I would get a call.
You would probably get more than a phone call. You'd probably get some officers at your door with a pair of silver bracelets. But
So just to be clear, do not rob a bank.
exactly. I am not encouraging this, not at all. But that's my point. There are consequences, and the freedom of the press only goes so far. It does not allow them to encourage others to break the law. Those talking heads can still be held responsible should somebody try to break the law. So I'm hoping if that is actually illegal, that maybe they do something about it, maybe they come out with it, maybe there's a lawsuit. I don't know. I don't know how far they'd push it, but something's got to happen, because we can't have news organizations, encouraging people to break the law.
I wanted to ask you something, and it's appropriate now. We want to remind folks that Eric is now on TikTok. He's the analytical Iowan, and I recommend that you go check out his TikToks. Very informative. He knows his shit because he's been on the podcast many times. But the analytical Iowan, check it out on TikTok. It's got a great page, and you definitely want to listen to it. But what I wonder now that you're on TikTok and you're getting Trumplafucks coming to your page, much like I am, I'm getting a sense that they're starting to get desperate. They're starting to lose confidence. They're not as strong as they were. They'll come in and say, oh, Eric's bald or Mike's old and ugly. You know, they'll say stuff like that, but they'll just do it quickly. Or they'll say Trump 2024. They're really coming off as weak motherfuckers.
Yeah, I've had a few of those already. I blocked them, of course, delete the comment.
Right. Good idea.
And then I had one that I actually turned into I deleted the comment, but I turned it into a video. This
block them before you do that. Block them before you do that.
Oh, I did.
Okay.
I didn't use the comment. I didn't, you know, have the comment above my head or anything. I just mentioned the
That's
comment.
A better way to do it. Yeah.
And the whole reason I mentioned it was he came to me basically wanted me to provide all of the evidence against Donald Trump for this thing. And if I couldn't provide the evidence, well, clearly he did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And I said, my whole point of the TikTok was I'm not on the prosecution team. I don't have that evidence. A lot of that has not been made public yet. That's going to come out in this trial. So asking me for the evidence to prove Donald Trump is guilty makes no sense. But it's all these people have.
Well, and the thing about it is you know who did see the evidence and knows the evidence?
Donald Trump.
Well, no, the grand jury that decided he should be indicted. Somebody knew the evidence, and it was strong enough to get him indicted. So shut the fuck. You know, I get people coming to my page all the time. I'm not the kind of guy that, I don't know why, maybe because I'm loud and in people's faces. I don't get death threats and that sort of stuff. I get all kinds of horrible things said to me, and it really doesn't matter. But I had a first yesterday. I was going through some of DMs on TikTok, and one guy came in and said, oh, you're a scumbag. Your family's a scumbag. You don't know what you're talking about, and you better watch out after November. RNC is getting serious about there, and they're going to come and sue your ass off. And I'm thinking to myself, please do, because as much as you sue me, that'll blow this fucking podcast and my TikTok up. Please do sue me. But that strikes to me as desperation. That's ridiculous. Here's a guy on TikTok with 2 followers, and he's coming to threaten me with the RNC. I got to think if the RNC was in his pocket, he might have a little stronger account.
Yeah, exactly. But these people, they have nothing. But as you talked about with HVAC Jeff and some of the other Trumplafucks that come on your page wanting to debate and this and that, they do it because they want to use your platform to grow.
Right.
And, you know, a few of the people that I've had to block already, they had a few more followers than me, but none of them were over 3,000 or 4,000 tops.
Yeah, yeah. And that's rare.
Yeah.
For me, from my standpoint, I don't see many with more than 100 or 200.
And, I've seen a lot of those too.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not shaming people for how many followers they have. I had 0 followers at one point. I have friends that have less followers than me. I know people with more followers. It isn't about how many followers you have. It's about the message you're doing and how it's impacting people. Frankly, if I was talking to 20 people a day and having an impact, I'd be happy with that, as opposed to having a bunch of people. It doesn't really matter. I'm not going to shame somebody for how many followers. I mean, you have a lot less followers than I do, but you just started. Fuck. You may end up with 10 times more followers than I am. And that doesn't make you better or worse or anything like that. So the point is these guys just seem to come out of nowhere, start an account, get a couple of followers, and then they come and attack people like you or me or Hawk or whoever, as if we're supposed to take them seriously.
Exactly. That, you know, and I don't attack anybody on their side of the aisle. I just block them. Like I said, I've turned a couple of them into some content that I've made for myself, but I don't take any of them seriously. I wouldn't if the RNC itself had a TikTok page and they came to my thing and tried to start something, I wouldn't take them seriously. I'd block them and move on.
You know, early on TikTok, there was a page for Donald Trump Jr. I took so much pride in this because I was just starting in TikTok. I had a few thousand followers or whatever, and Donald Trump Jr. said something, and I stitched him and I made fun of him. And I had so few followers at the point I could the moment I did that, within hours, I got some comment from Donald Trump's page. Donald Trump Jr.'s page. I don't know if it was him. And then they blocked me immediately. I go, motherfucker, I'm just out here doing this and Donald Jr. fucking blocked me. I win.
Exactly. But no, they're desperate. Like the Trumple fucks are desperate. I haven't seen nearly the Trump stuff around my area.
Really?
I still see a few hats and stuff. But I don't see that much. Not nearly what I did. In fact, I was out. I was at the day of the eclipse. I was out at the McDonald's here in town, and there was a gal in town, or I had never seen her before, and I noticed she had Trump 2024 stickers on her jacket. Well, by the time I left, I noticed she had removed them.
Really?
I never said nothing to her. I didn't do anything, but I just happened to notice by the time I left, they were gone.
And you know, the thing about it is that I'm curious as to what's going to happen. I'm interested to see what you think. Over the next 6 months, things are going to go badly for Donald Trump. He's going to get convicted of multiple felonies. He's going to lose property and all his money. He's going to get his ass kicked in the election, assuming he's the nominee. After that all happens, even though they say, I mean, people still come to me saying, Donald Trump's going to win in 2024. Please explain to me how that's going to happen. But do people become embarrassed and acknowledge that they were wrong? Do they just fade away? Or do they stand strong, double down, and triple down? I think we'll get different kinds of behavior from different kinds of people. But what do you think is going to happen when they finally get exposed for being absolutely fucking wrong?
I think I mentioned this on one of the other times I was on the podcast. I think it's going to be a lot similar to some of the old time members of the KKK. They're going to go back underground. They're going to put their stuff in the closet. They may say some stuff occasionally out in public, but they're going to go back underground and they're going to hide. And then when they finally pass on, their kids and grandkids are going to go through the house, find all this Trump stuff, and go, "Oh my God.
Yeah.
Grandpa or grandma or great grandpa and grandma were into this stuff. Oh man, it's going to be so embarrassing. It's going to end up, gotten rid of. I think you're also probably going to see a bunch of their stuff. Like our local Goodwill downtown says, don't dump overnight. You have to dump when someone's there. I bet you after the election and Donald Trump gets his ass kicked, I bet for at least a week or two you go by, I bet there's going to be piles of Trump stuff sitting out back waiting to get put out for sale.
Well, I keep getting people coming to my page. You're a reasonable thinker, so I think maybe you'll side with me on this, but people come to my page and they're like, Donald Trump could win. What about the polls? What about the primary? I'm worried Donald Trump can win. And in my mind, there is absolutely zero chance that he wins by virtue of the overturning Roe v. Wade and embracing it, getting convicted of multiple felonies, having all his money taken away, not being able to campaign because he's going to be in court all the time. I mean, there were things in my past when candidates had a lot less going against them and they had no chance. I don't see one path for him to win the presidency because there's nothing positive working in his favor.
I'm going to disagree with you just slightly.
God damn it. No, go ahead.
I don't think there's any path for Donald Trump to win on his own. There's nothing he can say or do at this point that will change the trajectory of the election in his favor. The only way Donald Trump wins is if you get a bunch of dumbass Democrats and left-leaning people who get a hair up their ass to go against Joe Biden and vote third party. They vote for Green Party. They for whatever reason, vote for RFK Jr., write in Bernie, who knows? That's the only way Donald Trump wins, is if enough people do what they did with Hillary and sink Joe Biden.
Yeah, I understand the premise of what you're saying. And people will say that, well, if we get that third party, he could lose. First of all, RFK Jr. is going to be more appealing to Republicans for two reasons. He's an anti-vaxxer. He's a conspiracy theorist. And Donald Trump will be so egregious that they'll want another option and still vote for their ideology. I think the turnout in 2024 is going to be even bigger than we saw in 2020. And that was fucking huge. And I think Joe Biden will have enough momentum and enough people voting for him and enough people unsure about the Republicans and unsure about Donald Trump that I believe it'll be a landslide. So a third party, in my mind, doesn't even become a factor because there's nobody in a third party, including RFK Jr., that's strong enough to pull enough votes.
No, I mean, I agree with you. I'm saying unless you see what, like, unless you see something like what happened in 2016, where in a bunch of the states, you found a whole bunch of the Bernie bros that
Yeah.
went from voting for Bernie Sanders in the primary and chose to vote for Donald Trump, or that they would vote that they would not vote for Joe Biden for whatever reason and vote, write somebody else in, write down Mickey Mouse, leave that spot blank, but vote for every other spot on the ballot or whatever. Unless the left-leaning people of this country shoot themselves in the foot, there is no way Joe Biden does not win.
Right, right. Well, and people always make that comparison. What about 2016? We are worlds away from 2016. In 2016, people were tired of the establishment politics, so they wanted an option. Donald Trump was the only option. Not even Bernie was there. He was the only option. They voted for him thinking to themselves, how fucking bad could it be? Well, we fucked around and found out how bad it can be. And here's my point. There could be people who do that, but don't you think, at least with the Democrats who did that, don't you think they fucking learned a lesson? And now we're dealing with our democracy hanging by a thread. There's a lot more to lose in 2024 than we ever even imagined in 2016.
Oh, I agree. And I don't think it's even a very high chance of that happening, of no. them sinking Joe Biden. I'm just saying, out of all the possibilities, that's the only possible way I can see to Donald Trump winning in 2024 is if the Democrats basically hand it to him on a silver platter. There would have to be enough Democrats that for whatever reason sunk themselves and shot themselves in the foot to hand it to him. I don't see it happening, but that's his only path forward. He can't win any other way.
Well, if we have any Trumplafucks listening right now, now you've got a bunch of, after hearing what you said, these Trumplafucks are now all in unison quoting Jim Carrey from Dumb and Dumber saying, so you're saying we have a chance? No, you don't have a chance. One in a million.
Oh, I think one in a million is probably being generous. But the only reason I bring it up is I want to make sure the left-leaning voters realize that even if you disagree with Joe Biden, our system is not set up for a third party right now.
No,
there could be an option for a third party in the next presidential election because the Republicans could be fucked. But this election is not the one for a third party. I mean, we haven't had a serious third party candidate since what? Was it 1918, 1916, something like that?
Teddy Roosevelt?
Teddy Roosevelt. I
think
he was the last
serious
third party candidate that actually got electoral votes.
And he won.
No.
He didn't win that one? I mean, he was president.
That's the one he lost.
Oh, okay.
That was when he was running for his third term, and the Republicans didn't want to run him. And that's the one he lost, but he ran as the Bull Moose Party. And that gave way to Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah, okay.
Because they split the Republican vote, they should have, if they would have combined their votes easily, they would have won. But because they split the party, they gave the election to the Democrats.
Well, you know what's interesting? You brought up 2016, and I said we're worlds away from 2016. There is no comparisons with Donald Trump or whoever is running against Donald Trump. There's just no comparisons. But now we have to look at, and now that we have this trial going on currently, think about what this trial is about. He's paying off porn stars and Playboy models to keep their mouth shut prior to the election. They don't want that information to get out because he feels it might hurt his chances in the election. That is clearly illegal. That's why he's on trial now. For all intents and purposes, that's cheating. That's cheating. You throw into the mix that we know for a fact that the Russians meddled in the 2016 election to the benefit of Donald Trump. Now, as much as they want to claim that 2020 was a fraud, it appears clearly, with plenty of evidence, that 2016 was a fraudulent election.
Well, it's like it's been said about Donald Trump almost all the time. Whenever he accuses you of doing something illegal,
Yeah.
he's probably done it himself.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. And that once we get done with this, I'd like to start a campaign, invalidating Donald Trump altogether and making the campaign about election fraud in 2016. Donnie, not only were you a shitty president, you had no business becoming president because you fucking cheated like you always cheat. And he did.
As I've said on here before, he is a man who fell ass backwards into the presidency. He
Absolutely.
didn't want it. I think he really thought he was going to run for a little bit. He was going to get it. I'm not going to say that he felt like he was going to lose, but I thought he was going to. I think that he felt he could run in the primary for a little bit, get a bunch of money real fast, get out, and he wasn't going to gain very many, delegates. He could scream that it was rigged against him, and he was going to be done. And then suddenly he started picking up steam. And as we've talked about, he started believing his own bullshit.
Right.
And he fell ass backwards into the presidency. He had no business sitting in that office. I mean, we've heard his own staffers say they had to dumb down all of his briefings that would normally be 25, 50 pages or longer in very technical. To a single page written how he would speak. Well, here are your two options. They think we're winners if we do this, we're losers if we do this. Make a choice. And they had to pretty much tell him how to do everything.
You're a pretty well-read guy, and I'm wondering if you remember this book. This book came out, I think, in the 60s, maybe the 70s, but it was called The Peter Principle. And what the Peter Principle is, rising to the level of one's own incompetence. It talked about bosses and stuff who kept rising and rising till the point where they were fucking incompetent. And Donald Trump is a perfect example of that. I think when he started running, when he came down those stairs in 2015, nobody, including Donald Trump and anybody around Donald Trump, believed he had a shot at becoming president. It was a promotional thing. It was a publicity stunt. He was running out of money and he needed to kick up some money. So that's why he did it. But like you say, he caught some traction and he started to believe his own bullshit. But how did he get that traction? And I've said this before in the show. This is why I hold the left side media responsible. He was a joke. He was a clown. He was a lot like, you won't remember this because you're too young, but back in the 60s, 68, I think it was, Nixon was running against Humphrey. There was another guy running in a third party. His name was Pat Paulson. Now, Pat Paulson was a goofy fucking comedian who was on the Smothers Brothers. And he ran and he had buttons and all that stuff, and he didn't win. It was a joke. And that's what Donald Trump was a meme candidate for all intents and purposes. But because he became so valuable as far as getting viewers, and he was such a train wreck, and people love train wrecks, I believe the left side media, I'm not even going to blame the right side media on it. They helped. But had the left side media not given him a platform and kept giving him a platform and gave him no pushback of anything he said, they're responsible for Donald Trump becoming president.
Yeah, I would agree. But they do that a lot. They chase the ratings, and I think that's what's the problem with, you know, the 24-hour news cycle and these cable news networks. Don't get me wrong; they have come out with some great reporting, and in some regards, I still like CNN. But
I like some people on CNN, not everybody.
That's true. And well, a lot of what I read anymore is on their website, so I'm getting it in text form.
Okay.
So I'm not even dealing with the talking heads.
Gotcha.
I'm just getting the information off their stories. But, you know, they still put out pretty good facts. But, yeah, they didn't push against Donald Trump and say, this guy's a clown, this guy's a joke. They let him do whatever he was doing and just they kind of showed him off on thing. Well, Donald Trump at a rally today did this. But they weren't doing it in a mocking manner. They reported it like it was legitimate news, which it wasn't. So, yeah, they are fully responsible. If they had treated him like a joke and, you know, made him out to be the goofball that he really is, I don't think he could have beaten Hillary.
But I think what we were looking at through the time Donald Trump was running for president and after he was president, the media outlets, Donald Trump and those people around Donald Trump were tantamount to pro wrestling. It was all fabricated shit. They hyped it up just to get people interested.
Oh yeah, I mean, as you say all the time, they were gearing up for the prize fight because
right.
They had the you know they knew, they figured for sure Hillary was going to lose. Hillary was going to win. Hillary was going to win. Donald was going to lose. It was going to be a landslide, blue wave, you know, and this was going to be hilarious. But I think what they weren't counting on was the fact that they pushed Donald Trump so much that there were people who didn't fully pay attention to politics who, when they heard about the bits they heard from CNN about Donald Trump and stuff, they'd catch it, you know, when they're at the doctor's office or when they're out somewhere where the news happened to be on. So they took him more seriously as a candidate, and then they bought into his celebrity.
Right.
And he got voters showing up that really weren't political beforehand.
You know, the one thing I think Donald Trump did that was positive for this country, you were talking about some people not paying attention to politics. I'm willing to bet in 2015 and before, the vast majority of people in this country were not paying attention to politics. I don't even know that I was really paying attention to it. I didn't know really what was going on. We have our own shit to deal with. But once Donald Trump came in and people started getting nervous or embarrassed by how he behaved, we got a lot more people engaged in politics than we used to have. I mean, I'm a perfect example of this. I'm some old white guy sitting in my living room talking shit about Donald Trump, and I got all these followers on TikTok. They became worried about this situation and said, now, what do we got to do? And so if nothing else, Donald Trump has engaged this country in politics far better than anybody has ever been able to do it.
I would say that is the most positive thing out of everything Donald Trump has done for this country. That is the only positive, but also the most positive thing we can say is that he engaged most of the people. I mean, I remember having some conversations with people about nationwide politics and stuff, and I did pay a little bit of attention going into the 2015-2016 election, but I was nowhere near as read up as I am now.
No, neither was I. No. I was like everybody else. You see some headlines and you spew your opinion. That's who I was. But then when it got scary, I started going, I need to look into this. Because for myself, whenever I'm posed with a problem, I go into analytical mode and I look at every fact and figure and every detail of this thing so I can really understand it and see if there's a way out or see if there's a resolution to this whole thing. And that's kind of how this whole thing started. I was trying to make myself more informed because I wanted myself to feel better, if there was any way to be feeling better. And then I decided to spew it on TikTok and in the podcast, and thankfully other people found some value in it. But prior to that, you know, I had opinions about Republicans and Democrats, but I didn't know shit.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking as you were talking, but back to how I was in 2015 and before. If you could have told me there would have been a platform where I could make short videos giving my opinion and my analysis about news stories, I would have told you, yeah, I don't want to do that. I wouldn't have thought twice about doing it. And if you would have told me that, I'd be a regular guest on a political podcast when we talk for an hour and a half, and I'm, a routine guest, I would have thought you were crazy back then. I mean,
Yeah.
I had, as you said, you had your, you read the story, you might read the entire article, you come up with an opinion based off one news article, and that's it. You moved on. And he brought more people engaging with politics than before. And I think that's, I hate to say it, it's the best thing Donald Trump could have done for us.
Yeah, absolutely. When I started doing TikTok, I watched TikToks for 3 months. I knew I wanted to do it. I was retired, so I had no restrictions against me, no one really to talk shit. At first, when I was looking at it, even though I had strong feelings about politics, I wanted to do a podcast ultimately. And there's a lot of things I could talk about, a lot of topics I could talk about, but I wasn't sure what to do. What's going to get people interested? What's going to people participate? Then one day, something really upset me about what was going on in politics, and I went on and made a comment with no plan to make this my focal point, but I did it once or twice and maybe three times, and it started to take off. I go, I guess I found my niche. This is what I'm going to talk about. And you made a point, and I'll give you this bit of advice, only because it worked for me. You talked about the media chasing viewers, right? That's one of the problems with people on TikTok and people in podcasts. They're chasing viewers or listeners. And it's impossible to second guess what people will like. So the best thing I felt like I could do is just do what I do, let the chips fall where they may, and see what happens. All you can do is be true to yourself, be authentic, and see if it takes. That's all you can really do. And that's what the media should be doing. Give the facts and let the chips fall where they may. Unfortunately, not everybody in the media is willing to do that. They put on their little dog and pony show just to wire people up.
Yeah, that's what I'm so far trying to do. That's why I don't do clips of Donald Trump. I haven't figured out how to do the green screen stitching thing yet. But I don't think I'm going to do any of those where I'm just going to go in, tell you what I'm hearing about re being reported, give you my thoughts on it, or give you something else to consider with it, and move on. I don't need to be flashy to get viewers, and if they don't like it, they can move on. Somebody else will like
Yeah,
what I'm doing.
exactly. Well, you know how
And
flashy I am,
oh
but
yeah.
people keep watching it. It's just me sitting here. And I think people appreciate the fact that it's authentic. The question I have, though, is I'm in a unique situation. I don't work for anybody. I don't go to a church that's going to get mad about what I say. My family is smart enough to know, even if they don't agree with me, don't talk to that motherfucker. He'll keep talking. But you do work. You have a boss. Has that posed any problems to you? I mean, here you are, you work for somebody, you're a younger man, you have family that are Trump humpers, you live in a state that's largely a Trump humper, you're a blue dot. You got a lot of potential pushback by saying the things you say.
Well, that's where I am being cautious with what I do. One of the things I've done, I'm guessing you've noticed, I did a few videos from my car.
Yeah.
And they were taken, when I had a break at work. Well, I made sure I park in a way. One of the other creators I follow on TikTok, he goes by Jose Monkey.
Yep.
And he does a lot of videos showing how very little information you can leave, you can find somebody. So I make sure my videos, I'm always angled in a way. There's nothing unique, nothing distinctive, nothing where you can pinpoint where I'm at. I brought an extra shirt with me the other day, threw it in my car, threw it over the shirt I had for work because it's a uniform shirt, so that way you can't tie me to a company. Even though I'm doing it on my own time, I'm not going to wear the company logo. I'm not doing any of that. And so far, there hasn't been an issue.
I don't think you're going to run into an issue because people. Well, first of all, at this point, with an you've tripled your audience, but you're still not at that point where you're going to get a lot of people coming at you yet. that day will come. But I don't want to bum you out here. I don't want to bum you out here. I understand you being careful on TikTok, but you're on the podcast and everybody knows you're Eric in Iowa. I'm just saying, be careful of that too.
Yeah, but even so, I'm not representing any company logos. I mean, you got two walls behind me. I'm not showing any place.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be harder to track me down to a company, and I'm doing that. I'm being careful to make sure I don't have, like, my employer's building is not in any of the shots of anything I do.
Right.
Things like that. You know, I'm not going to put their logo out there, and I don't see it being a problem, because, and I'm not talking about anything that has to do with them at all. Even if one of the news stories I want to cover, if I look at it and I go, oh, well, this could directly be related to my employer, I will not cover that story.
Well, and I would tell
you, there's no tie back.
I will tell you this. Obviously, I'm not cautious at all. I do whatever the fuck I do, and I say the things. But if you watch Eric's videos, they're different than mine. You're telling the story, and you're giving your input. You're not calling somebody a motherfucking piece of shit like I would do. You're pretty straightforward, and you're not really calling out anybody. You're just stating the facts. So it would be harder for somebody to say, I mean, if I work for somebody, somebody would be coming to my door saying, in my office and say, listen, motherfucker, you got to cool it. What would happen if you had a boss say, I don't like what your opinions, you got to stop or you're going to get fired. What would you do in that situation?
I don't honestly know. I like what I'm doing right now. I like who I work for. I do have options out there where I could potentially find another job. It might be the thing where I put the TikToks on a back burner for a while.
Right. You got to pay the bills.
And then I move on. My resume is pretty good. I've had other companies approach me. Weirdly enough, some of the ones that have approached me, they've come back with some of the most ridiculous restrictions for some of the worst pay.
Yeah.
But, and I'm not going to put the particular company on blast, but the one I would have about a 40 half hour, 45 minute drive every day to work. They only wanted to give me about $18 an hour.
Wow.
They told me absolutely 0% chance of overtime, but I had to be available. It was like a half hour or an hour before the store opened, half an hour to an hour before the store closed. Every day they were open, I had to have that open ability for the job. And I go, well, you know, there's the place I'm currently working for. I would like to keep doing that because it's pretty good money and it's, very flexible as far as the hours I work. And I could make it work if you give me a little bit of leeway. And they basically said, well, you can kick rocks if you want to do that. You have to have this completely open availability to work for us. I'm like, I'm not giving up the job I currently have for barely $2 more an hour.
Yeah.
Not worth it. So I didn't take it. But the fact is, they reached out to me. I didn't reach out to them.
Well, yeah.
I think I would eventually find, I would just put the TikToks on a back burner if they absolutely came to me and said, knock it off or else. And I would wait it out, find something better, move on to where I have that option. That's also why I'm being very careful. Part of the reason I'm not calling people out just yet is I think it's probably going to come. I'm still getting my feet under me as far as doing the TikToks and getting them worded and getting them out there. So eventually I'm probably going to start doing just like you do, calling people out, calling Dirty Diaper Donnie, you dumb motherfucker, and going with it. But for now, I'm just putting the information out there and giving people things to think about.
The company you were talking about that was trying to hire you, sounds like they have another position that you might be better for, and they could obviously use. They could use a decent fucking recruiter. They're trying to entice you and romance you to work with them, and they say, yeah, we're going to give you this money, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. There, your total restrictions. How do they expect to get anybody to work for them if they come approach people in this day and age when unemployment's so low?
Yeah, I have no idea. The only thing that one of the reasons I did hear them out is when they sent me a link before I even had the in-person interview was to their benefits package. And I will say it had one of the best insurance packages I have seen in a very long time as far as health insurance goes. But even that wasn't enough for me to put up with the restrictions that they had on everything else.
One of the things people have to understand is when you're working for somebody and you feel comfortable in a job, you feel like you're appreciated, you like the people you work with, that is sometimes way more important than a few dollars an hour more or even benefits, because you got to live there essentially. You spend a large part of your life there. And if you fucking hate it, it doesn't matter what they're paying you.
Oh yeah. And right now I had spent a number of my years working in different management positions, and the place I'm currently at right now, I am, pretty much one of the lowest employees on the totem pole. I have no responsibility right now, and I love that. I like taking that break away from being in charge. Now we're talking about changing that, and that's probably going to change. But for now, the fact that I have no responsibilities, I'm getting paid halfway decent, and I don't have anybody blowing up my phone, the minute I clock out, I go home. I don't hear about it or think about work till I get up to go to work the very next day.
Yeah, there's a huge value in that. In my lifetime, I've been in a management position a time or two, and I absolutely fucking hated it. I just want to go do my shit, do a good job, and go home. And if you're in management, everybody else's problems now become your problems, and you don't get paid enough to take that fucking on.
Yeah, I know. I remember being in management for a company 10 years ago now, 10 plus years ago. And I was on a family vacation. I was in Southern Illinois, down by St. Louis, but on the Illinois side.
Right.
And I'm getting calls to deal with personnel issues for people that were on my crew that I was supposed to be managing. And it's like, guys, I am, 12 hours away from home. What do you want me to do from here? There is nothing I can do from here. There are other managers in the building. Take it up with one of them, figure it out, or if it's that big of a deal, take it to somebody else, or wait till I get back and let me deal with it then. But that's the one thing I don't like, is being constantly reached. And I know a lot of the younger people feel the same way. They're putting that hard boundary of, well, you're only paying me from 9 to 5. You only get me from 9 to 5, and they
Right.
won't answer work calls after hours, and things like that. And I think business is going to change because of that.
I think so too. I think anytime you have to count on somebody else for your livelihood, it always causes problems. I mean, that's largely why I do the podcast the way I do it, did it. I would have preferred to have an ongoing co-host, because it's much easier to do something like we're doing here now. But I knew once I did that, can they show up when I want to show up? Are they going to do it every day? Are we going to get along with shit? We don't get along with shit, then what happens? So I said, nah, I'm just going to do it myself. And then coming up with the idea of having listeners on, that ended up being a great idea. And it's not a new idea. It's basically a variation on what I did when I was younger. I was producing call-in talk shows. You'd have a bunch of listeners call in and talk, and they were great. I love call-in talk shows. So this is like a call-in talk show, but I have the benefit of smart people coming on the show, making me look good and making the show more entertaining. But if I had a co-host, it would be a daily co-host, it would be a pain in the ass.
Yeah, and I see exactly what you're saying. You'd have to, unless they were, somebody that was relatively close to you, where you could get together every day and you could talk about things every day. Even somebody like, me, who has the time every night to do the podcast, having me as a daily co-host, you would struggle with it if you were just starting out, because you wouldn't know what to fall back on if I couldn't make it one day. So I get exactly what you're saying.
It's always t that's why I would never work in management again after I did a couple of times. I just want to do my shit and I want to go. I don't mind working with people. I just don't like counting on people, because
Yeah.
they have different work ethics, they have different ideas, they have different egos. And I got my share of ego too. It's not thinking that I'm the absolute best, but I have a real problem with people coming to me when they're dumber than me and telling me what I need to do. I don't listen to that shit.
Yeah, I deal with that sometimes, and that bothers me, especially when it's, you know, we had something where we had a corporate guy in several steps above myself and had taught me this new procedure. Well, then we had other people coming in basically saying, and you know, we were told we were going to take over this procedure from now on.
Right.
And I'm doing my best to teach everybody else the things I was taught because he couldn't be there, you know, all day. And I'd have people that weren't there when this other guy was being taught trying to tell me I'm wrong in what I was being told. I'm like, I heard it from the guy teaching us this new procedure. I'm the guy that's the expert here. You should be listening to me. So, yeah, it's annoying.
It's a pain in the ass. We're going to wrap up the Rational Boomer podcast. And those people who are listening to this now are probably listening to it while Donald Trump's in his trial for a second day. I can hardly wait to hear what happens today, because as soon as we hear what happens, people like me and you are going to be talking shit about it on TikTok. So, and it's going to be every day. It's going to be like a fucking carnival. Every day we're going to have some shit to talk about.
Oh, yeah. And it's just a matter of time till he actually gets held in a contempt charge, whether that means he gets jail time or whatever. I think he will. I think ultimately he will spend at least one night in jail before the end of this trial on a contempt charge. That is going to be the biggest news story for several weeks, that a former president spent a night in a prison cell.
Yeah. And I think he's got
an idea of how they're going to do it when he's finally convicted.
Well, and I think he thinks he's a tough guy and he could use it to his advantage to fundraise and to show he's a tough guy. You put him in there for one day, Donald Trump comes out a different guy, I guarantee you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He ain't going to want to do it again.
No.
He's going to get real quiet real quick. Well, Eric, thank you for joining me today. You in Iowa, me in Georgia. It's always a great conversation, and we got a lot of stuff to talk about. So I'm thankful that you took the time out of your night to sit down and talk.
Well, thanks for having me. I love being on the show. And like I said, I figured you'd want to co-host with the big news of the day with the start of the trial. So,
right. And, you know,
doing anything.
And the fact of the matter is I'm a lazy bastard. So anytime I can make it easier on me, I'm fucking in. All right. For those people listening, thank you for taking the time out of your day to do that. I hope you have a great day. And of course, we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Rational Boomer podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll see you next time.